But then I'd like to continue previous lecture and remind you Carleman estimate and give two applications of Carleman estimates: to optimal control and to identification of coefficients and hyperbolic equations. The part of results I discussed last time, a relatively new part of them, a very classical, and the same thing basically about what I will be talking today. There is something little new, little innovation, but relation to optimal control is probably about, I would say, 10 years old. So remind Carleman estimate for general differential operator. The Carleman estimate second order partial differential operator, linear partial differential operator with C1 principal coefficient. And U is function from H1 in domain omega. Omega has, say, C1 boundary, for example. Sometimes C1 is not quite good enough. For example, if you have hyperbolic equations, so always boundary is cylindrical. No way it can be C1. But it's not a big issue. Typically, Lipschitz domain is what should be enough. And now I like to focus on hyperbolic equations. For hyperbolic equations, I remind you example of this equation and symbol of hyperbolic partial differential operator. It's only principal part. Now, I'd like to use weight function, which is exponent of a hyperbolic distance function. Hyperbolic distance function will be X space different distance to, probably better write B. I add some parameter S just for technical convenience. Now conditions of pseudo convexity of this function and therefore conditions of validity of this estimate are the following. There are sufficient conditions. The result of careful computations. First, it says that speed of propagation in the quotient problem does not exceed speed of propagation in the equation. This is just natural condition. These are conditions for this function to be pseudo-convex. Now I'm writing sufficient conditions for this estimate. Well, I prefer to keep it. There is alpha here. Alpha only thinks that it's less than equal than 1. Controls only first order derivatives. Okay. Now, second condition is a little bit more restrictive condition, but you can see still in many cases it is satisfied. And this condition is related to non-trapic conditions, a conditions from regularity of generated Riemannian matrix and so on. Conditions from this differential geometry from, let me just write not A, but probably rather, yes, I wrote B here. But I will assume that coefficients are time independent because typically it's T capital, it will be size of the domain. Now we'll introduce domain right now. Domain applications will be cylindrical domain minus T, T capital. So omega prime is domain in Rn. And the whole thing will be in Rn plus two, Rn plus one. This condition is, you can see how you can satisfy this condition. Basically, it is condition of positivity of this term. Or more exactly, if the whole thing which stays in right-hand side is positive. If it is positive, then I can always pick up parameter theta to make it small enough and satisfy this condition. Eventually, of course, it is some condition which relates time and theta, because time is hitting you, so you have to be sure that time is large enough and simultaneously not large enough to satisfy this condition. Yes, little bit looks a little bit controversial here. Okay. Now, where Cauchy data and data our problem will be prescribed. It's prescribed also on part of lateral domain. Now we'll draw pictures. The pictures in space and pictures in time. Pictures of space, basically due to geophysical probably applications, I like to do this picture. Say place BN here. This is the whole domain omega. This is part gamma, which we will use on this domain. This is omega prime, this is gamma prime. So Cauchy data will be prescribed right here. And in time domain, cylindrical domain, roughly speaking, Cauchy data prescribed somewhere here in time domain. It's X or better X. Xn, because actually we cannot draw a picture of X.
So it's projection of that picture.
Yes, this is projection of this picture on Xn.
The line is projection of gamma prime on Xn.
Yes, but the whole space is compressed into one line, because in fact we cannot draw a picture of space anyway.
So it's quite black.
Yep. But in fact, the point is that there will be two different types of convexities and geometries in both spaces. And I need two pictures for that.
This picture, B prime 0 and BN is positive.
So
BN will be...
B prime 0 and BN positive. Yes. B prime will be 0 and BN is positive. So that's pole how we eliminate the whole thing. Because now I like to subordinate this function to geometry of problem. Pseudo-convexity is only part of business. Of course, for any partial differential equation of principal type, of any type of equation, you can build pseudo-convex function locally. That's not an issue. Locally, it is function which is built basically from distance functions. But question is, can we build function globally and use it globally? And in global conditions that it should be subordinated to geometry of the domain. And I remind you one condition which was needed for, say, right gamma right here. It will be the whole cylindrical thing. But I just compressed it also one line to draw pictures easier. Now, last time I showed how to prove uniqueness of continuation by using domains omega sub epsilon. Omega sub epsilon is domain where weight function is greater than epsilon. And if you look at example of this weight function, psi, that level surfaces of these functions will behave in the following way. That here it is not exactly a good picture for level surface. Level surface will behave like that. Because if you fix time, that equation of level surface is sphere. And epsilon, if epsilon growing sphere is moving away from, it's bigger, it's smaller sphere, bigger epsilon. But if you look at time domain, that picture will be different because sign in time is different.
So now you fix what?
Now I write condition for which uniqueness in the Cauchy problem holds. Our condition is, it is geometrical condition in, for example, in X space and some condition also in time space. This condition can be compressed into one condition, that closure of omega. So uniqueness domain, this will be uniqueness domain. That closure of uniqueness domain must be in omega united with gamma. What it means? It means that at the part of the boundary, which is not gamma, weight function should be negative. To make weight function negative, time should be large enough if you look at negative function. Because we like, we cannot prescribe any Cauchy data right here. It's final, the initial moment of time. Typically, there is nothing here. We can control something with lateral boundary. So we cannot prescribe any Cauchy data right here, because this is typically how function uniqueness domain will should look like. Should not intersect this part of the boundary. Which means that time should be large enough. Then subject of choice of S. And so let me not specify, just keep pictures like that, because you can figure out what S is for particular geometry. So this is time. This is, for example, if psi minus height, there are some spaces you can figure out how to select parameter S to fit this geometry. But the point is that observation time should be large enough to make this negative here. Okay. Now, first result, which I prove, I show that uniqueness of continuation implies so-called approximate controllability. It's just standard application of duality, a Green's formula, nothing more. And that's known for optimal control community for probably 10, 15 years. And they can find references, Leon's book, 1988, in French. Unfortunately, it's not translated. I ordered it for our library, but for 3 years, they still not going to get it. Probably it's out of print. Again, there are no big discoveries in this book, I think, but there are collection of all necessary material and rightly arranged. Okay. So it is available in Russian now. I saw this book in French. It is useful because it has formulas, and what I do, I just give sort of generic representative of this book. But why I'm talking about hyperbolic equations? Because to show density, you will need a joint problem. We have to solve a joint problem. And you have to be more specific about equations. Not just general equations should be, say, hyperbolic or elliptic or something. They can solve boundary value problem. Okay, now assume that, say, little lemma function psi is pseudo-convex with respect to hyperbolic operator A. On the whole domain omega. And suppose that condition 4 is satisfied. So time is large enough and then the space of solutions at traces of solution finite time. Now I'll explain what solution of boundary value problem is. It will be dense in H1. I should probably write H10. Now, what is this U with index G sub 0? It is a solution of boundary value problems, so we prescribe initial conditions to be 0 here and to be G sub 0 on lateral wall. Function G sub 0 is smooth function, so we cannot... Gamma sub 0, I will assume that it's supported on gamma. From minus, you can... That's always a question of doubling of time.
Just to see.
Yep, yep. Say, probably I, well, better safe side. Yep, it's always recalculating it. This is initial condition. For uniqueness of continuation, minus T, T is more convenient, because that's how uniqueness of continuation domain works. For initial value problems, typically this is initial condition. But I like to place it at time equal to minus T and solve problem right here. So we're solving problem with all possible initial conditions and geometries that waves are propagate like that. Everything is zero here. Then sitting a lateral wall the inside some waves and questions what is space on final on at final moment of time. No. Нет. No crosses here. But initial conditions, of course, you can move it properly. And argument is just a standard argument, Green's formula and Kanbaner theorem, it's nothing more. But I outline it to entertain a little bit. And besides, there is space here because it depends in what space you like density. Here, density is natural energy space. You can ask about density in L2 space, in higher space, and so on. It depends on what you like to have here. And proof is that assume the opposite. Then we use Hahn-Banach theorem, and by Hahn-Banach theorem we obtain that when there are functions in dual space to G spaces will be U1 star, this function will belong to H minus 1. Say take function, this function is an L2. Such that this there is perpendicularity to these solutions. Since this is in H1, the dual must be in H minus 1. There are solutions which are perpendicular to each of these solutions. Just Hahn-Banach theorem. You take any initial data you like, get perpendicularity. Now I'd like this will generate data for a joint problem. For joint problem, time will run in the opposite direction. I will write a joint problem, Green's formula, we will see that we obtain contradiction with uniqueness of continuation right away. Subject little regularity problems. Now, out of this data, I will build solution of a joint problem. I allow this operator to have to be general hyperbolic operator and a adjoint operator right here. It's not its principal part of A, so for symbol I will keep only principal part of symbol because it's irrelevant. But operator generally admits all first order terms, everything. Oh, that's true. That's not good probably. I should write prime or say A1. Yep, that's true. Now I'd like to solve this problem with final data given that U star will be U sub zero and normal time derivative will be at final moment of time. And I like to describe initial zero conditions, say Dirichlet conditions. Since you're talking Dirichlet conditions here, the lateral wall, I prescribe zero Dirichlet conditions. And then I use Green's formula, integrate by parts. Because what, roughly speaking, what Green's formula will tell you that this gives you boundary terms. This is integral over domain. This will be integral over boundary. There will be staying conormal over the boundary. This is Green's formula. More or less clean here. There will be little regularity question lately, but since we assume coefficients time independent, it's not a big deal, so it can be averaged then. And now this quantity is zero because that's how we select our operators. This is zero. Now what is staying here? What is staying here? Integral over the boundary. On this part of the boundary function, U is zero. So there will be no contribution from this part of the boundary. Time varying only terms of upper wall. And terms of upper wall staying precisely right here, the zero from upper wall. So what will be staying here is only lateral boundary. Now outside of gamma, this function is zero. What is staying here outside of gamma is zero. This function is zero boundary condition for function U star, a zero everywhere. So this thing will be missing completely because we prescribe boundary conditions to be zero here. We switch this thing. Now look what remains here. What remains here is a function U at the boundary, and function U is zero outside of gamma prime. Thing which remains here is only integral over gamma. Gamma prime, yep. What we have right now, we take this this gamma or gamma prime, and everywhere on gamma, function U, solution of our problem, can be chosen arbitrarily because we know that first boundary value problem can be solved with any boundary data you like. So from here we have immediately that quotient data for function, first of all function U is zero here, U star is zero here, and second normal derivative of function is zero here. And then we have uniqueness of continuation, that that uniqueness of continuation implies that everything will be zero right here. But let me just skip complete argument with exact uniqueness continuation domain. Suppose I assume that time is large enough, so we have data on the whole lateral domain. Then the omega sub zero will be the whole bound, the whole domain omega. And we obtain that this initial data will be zero everywhere on omega prime. So what I'm saying right now, I'm considering slightly more general situation. Suppose gamma is a whole lateral boundary, gamma prime. And suppose time is large enough so that gamma sub zero is the whole domain omega prime. We can achieve that. But what we obtain right here, we obtain that function u star will be zero everywhere in omega sub zero. And therefore, function u star will be zero and omega one prime. And therefore, we have zero in final conditions. Again, more specifically, we obtain that function is zero right here. But together with first derivative, but lateral conditions are zero. It's a hyperbolic problem. So we have initial zero conditions, we have zero boundary conditions, that function at final moment of time also will be zero. But that's contradiction because we assume that there is non-zero functions which are perpendicular. The standard density argument. Uniqueness of continuation. That's what I talked last time about. It's uniqueness of continuation. That basically, it is standard argument that uniqueness of continuation gives you density of solutions. And this property is called approximate controllability. Given time constraints, I don't like to go into precise time-space geometry here, where to prescribe what. So in other words, if function coefficient A satisfies these conditions, and from the whole lateral boundary, we can approximately control function at any couple of functions final moment of time. You can achieve any final state you like. What they like to do in controllability theory, they like to control the state of system by boundary data. Typically, your system is, you'd like to bring any solution of your system to zero in final moment of time. It's equivalent to the statement you can create any boundary data with lateral boundary data as initial boundary data. In other words, you can bring your system, starting with initial data, you can bring in any state by using only boundary data. Therefore, you can cancel any state of system by taking minus sign. That's a subject of boundary controllability. In fact, this argument, all argument works for, if you have only uniqueness of continuation, then since I mentioned time-independent coefficients, there is now Tataru's result, which says that uniqueness domains like in Holmgren theorem. So you have everything, uniqueness domain and all, everything will be. Tataru says that uniqueness of continuation is exactly as in Holmgren theory. And this density argument goes through also. There is nothing, I don't use any stability here, just density. In applications, again, sometimes people don't like these spaces or there are little imprecision involved here. For example, this solution, which I'm building, it has initial data negative space. So solution will be not as regular as I like. Have to fix situation a little bit. But in this case, I can simply modify solutions and do something with that. If you like, say, approximation in negative space or in L2 and some other spaces, then dual spaces will be different. But part of business is solution of dual problem. It must be solved in appropriate spaces. Okay, now I'd like to show probably more interesting result, which is called exact observability or dual will be exact controllability. The difficulty here and problem here is that to achieve this control, which we like somehow to give function g sub zero boundary control. But if you have only uniqueness, this is highly unstable problem to generating your boundary control. In a way, a space of functions, so you have operator right now, which is mapping from lateral data into final data. This operator is not exactly smoothing, but it is not invertible either. It is very strange operator, which maps initial data into final state. It keeps some features of elliptic problems, some features of hyperbolic problems. If you like, for example, to make this space invertible, you have take L2 space original, which was here, for example, or any standard space, and get it into bigger space to make isometry out of it. But this bigger space most likely will be worse than distributions. So if you have any operator which maps, say, L2 space to some space, it probably in another L2 space, for example, but not on 2 space. You know that operator is dense. What you like to do, you like to have not approximate controllability, but exact controllability. To have data so you can exactly create what is hidden key. And by Banach theorem, that it means that you must have stability for that. To have stability, you have to extend your original space to make it a lot bigger, a bit bigger space. And in this case, this bigger space is very hard to describe. It's undescribable. And it should be worse than distributions. Because distributions, basically, if it's compact, why it is worse than distributions? Because everything where you have exponential instability, that distributions will not work, at least in compact sets, because the local structure of distribution is derivative of some L2 function. So you're losing finitely many derivatives in this case to invert the whole thing. If you have exponential instability, you lose infinitely many derivatives. Like you try, your data are mapped into analytic data. To go back, Sobolev space would be not enough. You have to attract something which is nobody knows precisely what is that. Okay, so any increased stability, of course, is very interesting. Right now, I'd like to show some result. I give proofs because proofs here are very easy and it's not really big deal. There are some of them standard. In this note, it will be number 5. I like right now to introduce Jonerger solution. Moment of time t. It is kinetic energy plus potential energy plus probably square of function. We integrate only with respect to space variables. It's at moment of time 0. Sorry? No, it doesn't matter. It's everything up to constant. It's not exact isometric inequalities. Since we're talking about general hyperbolic, not self-adjoint hyperbolic operator, general hyperbolic operator. So we don't expect conservation of energy, and we expect conservation with some constant, then doesn't make sense. And actually argument, first it looks like you need some conservation of energy, but in fact it does not need, so I'd like to emphasize this point. Okay, now assume the following. That suppose psi satisfies condition of this lemma. And there is another condition, that at exit and entrance time, a function psi is negative. And function psi is positive at initial moment of time. If you look at function psi, right, that is written right here, you can see that this can be achieved by choosing time large. If time is large enough, this could be made negative. While s is needed to make it positive at initial moment of time. So you can select two things and everything can be done, checked. Now, a statement will be the following. Then we have a lot better estimate that energy at any moment of time is bounded by lateral energy I have probably to add what the function u is here. Function u again is solution of initial value problem. This, we don't prescribe anything here. We assume that function u right now is zero on lateral wall. What it is saying? It is saying that initial energy, classical energy, is bounded by lateral energy. So reconstruction of function from this data, reconstruction of function solution of equation site is stable procedure. And by the way, estimate of this type is also known, so it's isometric inequality. Estimate in opposite direction, by the way, starts with work of Sakamoto for general equations, showed that if you have Dirichlet problem, that Dirichlet to Neumann map is isomorphism in natural space, losing exactly one derivative for hyperbolic equations. It is celebrated paper of Reika Sakamoto from 1970, but it was extra smoothness of coefficient. And then there is also pretty good work of Lashichka, Trigiani, and Leons, who made it integrating by parts about 10 years later under absolutely minimal conditions. You cannot reduce it further. Oh, they have mistake? Oh, really? We have to talk about that. Oh, there is paper of Lashichka. I was blindly believe them. Zizani, 1980. It needs to be checked. If there is doubt, it's repairable. Repaired then. But who did it?
It's an
oh.
And this mistake, by the way, in the book of Lazieska Tigiani is also
repeated. Punishment for writing too many papers. So at least you must have time to read your own paper. But it depends what kind of mistake. Could be technical mistake. I don't know details, but
just the rule that we choose if you construct functions
of. Oh, not good. But I believe that this estimate is proven true. Of course, I'm not using proofs. Yeah. And I read original paper of Sakamoto, so if it is smooth, I just know that everything is fine here. Even work a little bit on that. Okay, now how to... Opposite direction, that's what I was discussing right now, that the opposite direction is that energy. I will prove it right now.
Okay.
It is sort of, first the business started with, probably first proof was given by multipliers, but somebody from optimal control community. I think it's former student of Russell. It was pretty good work of 1986. But using different technique to prove it, he used multipliers. Multiplier is very interesting thing. And multiplier has links with Carlyman estimates, which is not completely well understood. That multiplier, it is gradient, so multiply your equation by, basically multiply by this function, almost by this function, integrate by part. So idea of multiplier that you multiply, I think, if I'm correct, by gradient psi dot gradient of u. Yep. There are links between that, but it's not precise. But there are restrictions for multipliers because it's pretty rigid technique, not local technique, it's global technique. You need a global vector field and it pulls some restrictions. What I'm saying is right now there is no restrictions at all because it's Carlyman estimates who repair situation. And some people observe it almost simultaneously that Carlyman estimates can be used here. I know from Tataru, from again Lashichka, Trigiani, from community of optimal control problems. Hinckley-Banoff observed it about the same time. Now I reproduce this proof. But for this, I need Karliman estimate. I don't need only Nikisov continuation. What is needed is Karliman estimate. So I will take this estimate 1. I rewrite it slightly. Now, we have homogeneous differential equation, so AU will be 0. I'm just applying estimate 1 right now, directly to function, solution of this equation. This is zero, so we obtain constant. Instead of boundary terms, we obtain term over lateral boundary. Nothing else because function is zero, otherwise it's only normal derivative is not zero. And we obtain, of course, Cauchy data at final stage. Here I can be pretty generous and write u square plus gradient of u square all first order derivatives. Because in fact, it is irrelevant. Sorry?
Normal derivative is called, it should be also tau. You
should be tau. Doesn't matter here, because exponent again kills everything. Can write any power you like here, simply doesn't matter. Because the point is that there are little things here, that weight function is positive here, it's negative here. There is big gap in behavior of weight functions between t equal to t capital and t equal to t zero. That's where game will start. Because this part will be simply switched.
About this part, not about the first one.
What about this part?
No,
on the right-hand side. Oh, tau, yep, there must be tau here. Which is also not a big deal because this exponent absorbs everything. All powers of tau which on the way. Okay. So what I'm doing right now, I'm writing that this term will be greater than something. Observe that function phi is greater than zero. Well, I can transform everything into function phi instead of function psi. Just let me keep the same condition for function psi, because I can do it by using s, choosing different s. Suppose I have this condition for some function psi. Then I can always adjust s in such way that or subtract some constant also to achieve that function phi at initial moment of time is greater than function phi at final moment of time. Okay, but no, but there is gap in between. That's only what it means. Not that function is zero here, phi. Probably I will not write zero here. That's fine. And function at upper wall, what is happening? Function phi will be greater than phi sub star plus some delta. It's positive. Because function phi is continuous function. And upper wall minimal function psi is negative. In the middle, it is not less than zero. So there is gap in between, gap delta. If I take exponents, this gap will be preserved, of course. So exponent of this function upper wall will be greater, strictly greater than function lower wall. Oh, sorry, what I'm doing. Should be less than minus delta, of course. Yes. An upper wall function is less than an upper wall. And now what I'm doing right now, I'm getting rid out of this exponent completely, exactly after this. I tried, say, probably write tau here, which is also sort of irrelevant. Write omega. Write d alpha. You write here. All these maximal functions will be included into constants, so I will drop this thing here. But what I have negative power of exponents. I like to write this thing. Say tau cube e to the power minus 2 tau delta, because there is a gap in between values here and values on the right-hand side. Let's just keep tau. Say e to the power minus c tau. It's here. Then this term is our data, so in a way we don't care about that, this term. This is data problem. After all, I choose tau large, so large that this quantity is greater than this, less than this quantity. Just erase quantity in the left-hand side, I get my estimate. But after that, I fix tau. It will not be arbitrary large parameter, it will be fixed parameter. Now, right here, I will write. Now, for hyperbolic equations, what is sitting here is energy. So another thing, what is true for hyperbolic equations, that energy is bounded by initial energy. It is for energy integral for hyper. C can depend on coefficients of equation, on time, exponential, it doesn't matter, but it does not depend on tau. It depends only on equation. And of course, this estimate is two-sided. So what I'm doing right now, if you look at what is staying here, there are only first order derivatives staying here. And you integrate, in addition, integrate in time. So I write integral in the final moment of time. So I replace this thing by constant, which is sitting here, times, say, initial energy. Because energy at final moment of time, of course, does not exceed initial energy times some constant. But it's only for hyperbolic equations. Now, the interesting thing, what is sitting here. For hyperbolic equations, I'm sorry, I did something here which is not quite. Because there was big cylindrical domain right here. Now I will shrink this big cylindrical domain to small neighborhood of the origin. Small neighborhood of the origin where function phi is greater than this phi star. Again, look at these inequalities. These inequalities should try more rigorously, put bars everywhere above. Therefore, there is gap in between psi chi and psi chi. And this gap will be preserved if you take some neighborhood of initial moment of time, delta neighborhood. And I'm putting delta neighborhood right here. But again, thing which is sitting right here can be written as double of integral containing energy. The energy is preserved. So this thing is nothing but it's tau delta because again what is sitting here is just double integral of energy. You write this integral as double integral with respect to time and x. And integral in fact does not depend on function does not depend on time because energy is bounded by energy at initial moment of time. It will be price of some constant, which I collect all here constants. This time tau independent. Now that I almost finished the business. Now look at this thing. There is tau delta sitting here. There is same initial energy with negative exponent. Whatever power accumulates here absolutely doesn't matter because you can always choose tau so large that this term is greater than this term. This term is greater than this term. And simply cancel this term.
And this is finite tau.
Yep, this is finite tau. And then we fix tau, and this tau will enter this constant. So basically, it is simple observation that very much in spirit of Kahneman estimates, which intuition says the following, that if Karlman function is small on some part of the boundary, you can completely switch this part of the boundary. The underlying reason is that switch off this part of the boundary. There will be some price to pay, little price. If instead of Lipschitz estimate, you will have sometimes Hölder estimate. But you can completely switch it off. And typically, there is stability involved also, some stability. In some cases, like in this case, of course, stability is increasing dramatically. It is pretty good. And this stability estimate, again, it is called exact observability inequality. Exact because this estimate cannot be improved. It says that map of initial data into lateral data is isomorphism onto the range. There are problems with this isomorphism because you cannot exactly describe range. I mean, you know, there is this closed subspace of this product of H1 times H0. It maps onto this closed subspace, but you don't know this subspace. It's like, in a way, situation is similar to tomography. And in fact, stability in tomography is very much related to these things because tomographic information are sharp fronts of solutions of hyperbolic equations. And tomography is perfectly stable problem. You lose probably half of derivative, something a little bit from tomographic data. But otherwise, you observe your object from all directions, from all points of the boundary. It's very, very, very much similar to what you're doing here, a solution of differential equation. You don't know anything about inside. You know everything from outside. Observe for time large enough, in fact, only large enough for all signals to go through the domain. And as a result, you have stability estimate for this operator. There is an important question which is not resolved. It is so-called local control abelian, local control abelian. That exact control ability will be the following. Now, from this estimate and from lemma which I outlined before, you can prove that actually for any final data you prescribe from this type of spaces, there is boundary control. Well, there is Dirichlet data, G sub zero. So if you solve your hyperbolic problem with zero initial data, with this Dirichlet data, you obtain precisely this boundary data you like. So operator mapping lateral data onto final data is operator on two in product of Sobolev spaces. But it's highly desirable to have the same property, local property. So it's not for the whole domain and subdomain. And this is still unknown. There is a lot of effort to do that. But I'm saying that suppose you have subdomain. You have small portion of the boundary sitting here. Question is what part of domain you can exactly control. That I hope to do something in this direction by using increased stability in Helmholtz equation, which I outlined just last lecture. Because for Helmholtz equation, halfway you're done it already. There is not this best possible estimate. There is estimate which for Helmholtz equation shows that if frequency is increasing, that you're approaching this estimate. It's increasing. You're approaching this estimate. Because estimate which I last time just remind this estimate. This C, and now this is data, suppose this is normal data of your problem. The structure of this estimate was the following. There was some a priori bound, which I probably don't like too steep. This is structure of this estimate. Now, what is happening if frequency goes to infinity? Then this term drops. You obtain precisely estimate of type 5, which is best thing possible in this business. And probably by doing something is situation is better, more controllable in frequency domain than time domain. In time domain, there is no results like that. So if I go to local problem, I don't know anything right now. Suppose you have half of the boundary. Question is, what part of domain can you control? Exactly. Because exact controllability is not only statement that you have precise space, which is very, very good thing, but it's also stability, which is very important thing. And for boundary control for methods, it's either in form of inequality or in form of range of spaces. It's a big, big deal. Because then we regain stability and the whole thing is getting, at least in some cases, very, very applicable. Okay, now I have a little bit time, probably 15 minutes, to say a few words about applications to inverse problems. Applications to inverse problems, if you consider, say, equation with right-hand side. Right now I'm writing equation with right-hand side. It could be even hyperbolic system at what I'm talking right now. And we assume that for this equation or system we have Carlyman estimate, precisely what is written upstairs. And what is not known, we assume that function f is not known. It does not depend on time. In fact, it is linearized coefficients identification problem, because if you have two equations with two different sets of coefficients, you subtract one equation from another equation, rearrange terms, and for difference, you obtain this type of problem always. Question is if good subtraction or not, it's another question, because you change structure of problem. But in case you have stability, it turns out that from uniqueness in this problem, and suppose you assume initial zero conditions. And you assume that function has zero quotient data. Then I like to conclude that function f is zero omega sub zero. Omega sub zero is precisely this domain which is described by sign of weight function. The weight function is positive. In these applications, you can see that this domain is pretty much close to convex hull. For example, for wave equation, is all conditions satisfied. Level surfaces are spheres. If you push this B far away, this will very much look like convex hull, this omega sub zero of gamma. Alpha now, I will give only one condition on alpha. Alpha is so-called weight function. It's known. It depends on time and x, four variables, known function. In applications, alpha is typically solutions of one of equations. In other words, if I'm subtracting, say, equation, if I do ridiculous example, then you can add derivative if you like. Subtract two equations. It obtains that Scorsese device from calculus one, I think. Now, if you have subtract two equations, you obtain zero here. Therefore, you can write result of subtraction like this thing. You can add derivative from main derivative, if you like. So if you like coefficients, if you're looking for coefficients A, you like to prove that coefficient is zero. This turns out to be a known function, but you like to prove that difference is zero. And that has nothing to do with scalar equations. It's the same thing for elasticity, for example. And now result is the following. Probably I will. The basic condition in this business is that alpha will be smooth enough. I will not give you exact regularity. It's sort of C4 or C5. I forgot precisely what is that. It's smooth. But important conditions, first of all, I consider systems right now, because I like to emphasize that this is matrix. It's applicable to systems. Difference between systems and equations that in systems, everything is like for equations, but there is non-commutativity. typically you have very, very high non-commutativity, which hurts the whole thing. Now we'll assume only the determinant of this matrix at initial moment of time is greater than zero. Say, in applications we need it only for positive part of the domain. Oh, we should write prime here. So the condition is the following, that at initial moment of time, this alpha should not be zero. And the answer is that then if you have Kardemann estimate, let me see what else is needed in this case for this particular function. And conditions of theorem 5. Oh, not even condition. The Kardemann estimate implies that f is 0 in omega 0 prime. It's the uniqueness domain for Cauchy problem, precisely. This is result, I mean, in final form, it is, I just actually prepared it for this talk in very final form. But the point is that why I'm writing about matrices here, because recently we obtained this Kardemann estimate for elasticity system. And this is joint work, as you mentioned, I think it's quite important work with Emanuilov. Myself and Masahiro Yamamoto. Just appeared in, because before elasticity system was sort of terrain, sort of forbidden area. You cannot find all three coefficients. You can do something, but not all three of them. So we showed that subject of some choice of initial conditions, actually we need two sets of initial data. If you have two sets of initial data, which are not zero, unfortunately, it is very severe restriction. In the sense that they generate some non-zero determinant. These two sets of special initial data and large time, observation time large enough, and this condition satisfied for elastic, for speed of propagation, these three things uniquely determine all three elastic parameters, rho, lambda, and mu. This result is of importance because, in a way, what it says that elasticity system is canonical system. Because another importance of inverse problems for PDE is that if there is huge non-uniqueness, for example, inverse problems, then you have big choice with equations also. Then question is what equation is optimal. You can describe the same phenomenon by many, many equations. And why do you think that, say, your writing of equation is good? In nonlinear equations, not even, it's very, very serious thing because where you write equation is very important. Divergence form, add something, multiply something, this is very important. In linear, it's less important, but still, if you can write equation canonical form, probably it will be easy to solve it. But this says that equation of elasticity system is written in canonical form, because you can determine all three. In other words, your boundary fills all three coefficients, your boundary data. You cannot do less than that. You cannot remove some, replace by ratio, and still obtain the same effect at the boundary, which is typically the case for boundary value problems. What is deficiency of this technique? I bet I don't have time to discuss the business right now. Probably have about 10 minutes or 5 minutes. In fact, I compressed proof into probably one page, I hope very readable page, in the spirit of the same estimates and growth of functions and everything. There are new ingredients in this business, and difficulty is basically, but how do you do that? Very, very naively. Suppose function alpha does not depend on time. Then we just simply raise this function. It is ridiculous, but let's suppose that's how it is. Then we simply differentiate with respect to time this thing and obtain homogeneous equation. For homogeneous equation, we have uniqueness of continuation, so it's not a big surprise that we have zero here. If you have Kardemann estimator, this naive procedure of differentiating has some stability property. And it can be transformed into time-dependent coefficients alpha by using Karlemann estimates. So in a way, you can do some tricks using all these Karlemann ideas, these exponential growing functions, and roughly speaking, do the same thing. It's Polgain-Klebanov technique, but I like to mention three names. And then Emanuilov proposed something which I observed will work for elasticity system very well. This something was that in Polgain-Klebanov technique, you need commutativity. It's basically applicable to scalar equations. If you try to push it for systems, it will not work for systems. Because where you do it, you have to commute. You do pretty simple thing. You like to eliminate alpha, for example. You write this substitution. By this substitution, you have to commute operator A and alpha. But they're not commutative. They're principally commutative for scalar case. So in scalar cases, then just principally commute, and first order terms are relevant because they're hitting all covered by estimates. If you go to matrices, this thing will not work. Because you think it's not that it is just joke. For many, many years, it was not clear what to do at all because they don't commute and that's it. What Emanuilov proposed was a pretty simple thing. It was differentiate sufficiently many times, collect derivative of this function, but then derivative of this function evaluate this function at initial moment of time. If you know derivative in the volume, take trace, you know function at initial moment of time. This estimate, just because of trace function. And then now look at initial moment of time, what is happening at initial moment of time. What is happening, you have initial conditions, but of course you have time derivative. That's what remains for the whole business at initial moment of time. Because tangential derivative, function u will be zero, first derivative will be zero, so tangential derivatives and function are zero at initial moment of time. What remains is second normal derivative, which is time derivative. If you look at this derivative, what is happening? Now, look Karlemann estimate, write Karlemann estimate for this system. Write Karlemann estimate for differentiated system several times. If you differentiate here, you just change alpha because f is not changed, and that's it's time independent. So you can differentiate. It needs extra smoothness of alpha. It doesn't need anything from f. Now, apply Karlemann estimates to, instead of function u, apply to derivative of function u. Differentiate several times. As a result, you accumulate integrals on the right-hand side of time derivative several times. Now take time derivative, evaluate them at initial moment of time. And if you have, say, derivative of order 3 in the volume, you can evaluate second derivative on the hyperplane. So you have everything on hyperplane. But these estimates are in terms of function f only, because this enters coefficients. So evaluated function f, all derivative of function u, first derivative in x, and number of derivatives in time, in terms of function f. Now look at this equation. This is evaluated in terms of function f. And now this is determinant is not zero, you can solve for f. And from this initial data, you can find f. As a result, you plug everything into estimates, and you obtain in the estimates that on the right-hand side there will be f, the right-hand side of estimate. And in the left-hand side, estimates of solver will be only f. But since you have large parameter on the left-hand side, you get contradiction. Roughly speaking. I mentioned already one important problem is local exact controllability, that a lot of efforts at this. I know that Bardos was working for a long time for this problem. And certainly we discussed with optimal control community. This looks like a very interesting problem because, first of all, sometimes you don't have data on the whole boundary. But mathematically, not even this is the issue. If you have local procedure, then you can use locality. There's immediately big, big gain. You can use smallness argument, all these arguments which are local arguments versus global arguments, which are sometimes very hard to use. For example, gain here, how to go from general equation. But Lob-Fathoff proved this result for wave equation. And it works only for wave equation. this little small perturbation of wave. Well, that name which I known in, yeah, it's known in optimal control community, but and for a while it was only for wave equations, small perturbations of wave equations. But current mass estimates do it without any difficulty for any equation. Just there is no problem here. Because there is locality here. What you can do, what they can do, they can use this localization in time and involve large parameters. So as soon as you have locality, of course, it is tremendous game analytical as well. And use this local controllability, you can cut domains piece by piece in stable way. So certainly it is a very important topic, but it's pretty much open thing. About applications of Kalman estimates and questions here, of course. In this question, this is very annoying as condition which I don't like. It should not be, but it is here so far. There is nothing else available globally so far for elasticity except for that. This condition, again, it is not completely crazy condition because now there is new technique which is called elastography and thing which looks before was forbidden, now it is not forbidden, so you can go inside the domain. At least now you can measure inside the domain, probably. I don't know details, I don't know how precisely, and if it could be even bigger issue than, say, because at the boundary, you can measure everything very precisely, relatively precisely. Inside, if you go inside of, say, images inside of patient's body, I don't know, the precision of measurements will kill patient. How is this happening? Is it practically working or not, or it is just illusion? But at least in principle, you can go inside, and that changed problem quite dramatically. I heard from recently from, say, heat conduction community that sometimes you can heat body in inside and create initial data which you like inside. There are new technologies, new techniques. In other words, what I'm saying, this could be useful, even very practical problems. In seismology, so far, this condition is not satisfied because what is happening, you have earthquake somewhere near at some point. Nothing else. So typically, perturbation is delta function. There's no way you can make everything non-zero at zero moment of time. Of course, it is a big obstruction. But another hand, even in seismology, what they're doing is they're collecting, for example, I can outline another probably idea how to use such things. Because just occurring to me that probably you can use this thing. Because the whole business is translation invariant in time. Suppose you collect this data with a lot of delta functions. And in seismology, they keep track on records of all earthquake, of all their experiments, everything which is coming from inside. And out of delta function, you can combine everything you like. If you have, say, a lot of delta functions, or then out of this delta function, you can form linear combination, you can approximate any function. So you may probably even able to use current seismic data for that, but after rearranging them in proper way. So what you do, suppose something explodes in an earthquake or whatever starts. I don't like it to happen, say, in Kansas, but it will never happen in Kansas, so it's pretty safe in this case. It happens somewhere. Then they keep track on this. They can recalculate times. They measure signals, everything in the database, because it's very valuable experiments. Then you can collect all data, bring them at the same moment of time, and try to do something out of it. So it could be. Of course, I'm not doing that. I'm not a seismologist. Okay, thank you very much.